by God in the form of the vicar of Christ on earth, the Pope, and spurning God in their turn, the Knights Templars banded together in secret and formed what was to become known as Freemasonry. Now the legend goes that Freemasonry sprang up from ancient stonecutters' guilds and the men who built the stone buildings of the age. But Freemason actually comes from the French, Free Maison, which literally means the sons of light. Which light? Well, certainly in researching the problem, it is not the light of Christ. It is the light of the fallen angel of light. For when they were forsaken by the church, by Christ's vicar on earth, the Pope, they spurned God and turned to Lucifer. They held to the Luciferian philosophy that the gift of intellect by Lucifer through his agent Satan would in its turn make man God. These men were always on the run. They took the hidden Templar wealth and built a financial empire that stands to this day as the most powerful on the earth. Jews who had traditionally been persecuted throughout Europe flocked to the hidden temple. For there they could believe as they wished and worship whatever God they wished, for all were welcome. Many of the Templars running to ground flocked to England and to Scotland, where they fought for Robert the Bruce, who was engaged in an intense battle with the King of England. Now, let me regress just a little bit. King William the Lion, who was born in 1165 and died in 1214, had a daughter, Isabel of Scotland. Well, Isabel married a certain Robert Rose. Robert Rose was a Knight Templar who was heavily involved in the first efforts and was very successful at international banking. Plus, he established the first overt and covert international intelligence gathering organization, which all subsequent intelligence organizations have been based upon since. His son, Sir William Ruse, and his daughter, Lucy Ruse, figure prominently in the story to follow. Lucy married Sir Robert Plumpton. They sired two children, Sir William Plumpton and Alice Plumpton. During this period of time, this family, as the Knights Templar were going to ground, and the male progeny of this family always followed their father's footsteps and entered into the order, they established in secret the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry and may have had a significant role in the establishment, for intelligence reasons, of the order known as the Ancient Order of the Rose and Cross. Now, Alice Plumpton married Sir John Boteler. They gave birth to a daughter, Alice Boteler, who then married John Gerard, who had a child, Constance, who married Sir Alex Standish. The following children issued from that marriage: Ralph Standish, Sir Alex Standish, Roger Standish, and Alice Standish, who then married James Prescott. The children of this marriage were Roger Prescott, Ralph Prescott, John Prescott, and Captain Jonathan Prescott. Jonathan Prescott married Rebecca Buckley. They had two children, Abel Prescott and Lucy Prescott, and Lucy married Jonathan Fay. They sired three children, Samuel Prescott Phillips Fay, Samuel Howard Fay, and Harriet Eleanor Fay. Harriet married Reverend James Smith Bush, son of merchant Obadiah Bush. Their son, Samuel Prescott Bush, became the president of Buckeye Steel Castings Company of Ohio, a pioneer family of Franklin, Ohio, between Dayton and Cincinnati, and was one of the members of the Golden Circle and Order of the Quest, also known as the Jason Society, which gave issue to most of the political elite of the United States of America, who are, by the way, all, and I mean all without exception, related to each other. Now, Samuel Prescott Bush married, and his son Prescott Bush became a U.S. Senator from Connecticut, the director of Prudential Insurance, the director of CBS, a partner in Brown Brother Harriman, chairman National Republican Finance Committee, funds placed in Merrill Lynch accounts in Switzerland under the guidance of Donald Reagan. When he married, that marriage gave issue to the following: Prescott Bush II, an investment banker indicted for fraudulent banking practices; George Bush, chairman of Zapata Oil from 1963 to 64, chairman of the Republican Party, Harris County, Texas, when John F. Kennedy was killed; delegate to the GOP National Convention, 1964, 1968 member of the 90th and 91st Congress from Texas. From 1965 to 66, Nixon appointed Bush as ambassador to the United Nations to deal with China. He was the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, chairman of the National GOP Party, vice president of the United States of America, and president of the United States of America. Four other children were William H. Bush, James Bush, Jonathan Bush, and Nancy, who married Alex Ellis. The issue of George and Barbara Bush was Dorothy, who married William LeBond, John Ellis Bush, Neil Bush, son of the director of CIA, becomes director of Silverado Savings and Loan and launders CIA drug money. Silverado loses over $100 million and Neil goes unpunished. And the two other children, Marvin Pierce Bush and George Bush II. Folks, this intelligence was gathered by one of our agents, codenamed John Galt, who spent literally years in dusty libraries and books of genealogy. And I'm not going to tell you which libraries or how he arrived at this information, but it has been checked. It is absolutely accurate. And this is just one portion of the pedigree of George Bush, who's literally related to most of the royal families of Europe. Now, you can have a copy of this chart if you want it. I'll tell you how to get it later, so have your pencils and paper ready. And I'm going to tell you exactly where the money goes. One half of the money goes to help pay for the airtime here. The other half goes to our agent, John Galt, to pay for the years of toil in dusty library books that nobody ever looks in, tracing genealogy. And folks, this is only one of the charts that he has furnished to us, along with others, other agents of the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence, who are engaged in the exact same research. And we have found that our most productive connections of the secret societies, the royal families, and what's happening in the world today is through genealogy. We have found a direct connection between the Peasants' Rebellion in England, the French Revolution, the Ronald Reagan and George Bush political campaign, and the George Bush political campaign. As far as the Peasants' Rebellion goes, the Encyclopedia Britannica calls it a, quote, curiously spontaneous rebellion. Barbara Tuchman, in her 14th century history, A Distant Mirror, said that the rebellion spread, quote, with some evidence of planning. Winston Churchill went even further. In his work, The Birth of Britain, he wrote, quote, throughout the summer of 1381, there was a general ferment. Beneath it all lay organization. Agents moved around the villages of central England in touch with a, quote, great society, unquote, which was said to meet in London. The spark of rebellion was being fanned vigorously, and finally the signal was given. Even though he had been arrested, excommunicated, and even now was a prisoner in the ecclesiastic prison at Maidstone in Kent, letters went out from priest John Ball and from other priests who followed him. Clerics were then the only literate class, so letters must have been received by local priests and were obviously intended to be shared with or read aloud to others. They all contained a signal to act now, which could put to rest the concept that the rebellion was simply a spontaneous convulsion of frustration that just happened to affect 100,000 Englishmen all at the same time. This from a letter from John Ball. In it he says, quote, "John Ball gritteth you well all and doth you to understand he hath rungen your bell. Now right and might, while and skyle, God speed every dale," which means ideal, "now is time," unquote. From priest Jake Carter, quote, "You have great need to take God with you in all your deeds, for now is time to be war," unquote. From priest Jake Truman, quote, "Jake Truman doth you to understand that falseness and guile have reigned too long, and truth hath been set under a luck, and falseness reigneth in every flock. God do bote, for now is time," unquote. Now you'll notice that in every one of those quotes there was one phrase that stands out, and that phrase is "now is time." One letter from John Ball, quote, "St. Mary Priest," unquote, is worth quoting in its entirety. Even with the medieval English spelling, the meaning will be clear. Lechery and gluttony were frequent points in his accusations of high church leaders. Quote, "John Ball sent Mary Priest greats well all manner men bides him in the name of the Trinity. Father and Son and Holy Ghost stand mainly together in truth and help is truth, and truth shall help you. Now reigneth pride in prize, and covets is hold, wise and lechery, withouten shame, and gluttony, withouten blame. Envy reigneth with treason, and sloth is take in great season. God do bote, for now is time. Amen," unquote. Now, folks, if you research the history of the French Revolution, you will hear that the spark, the word that spread through the country like wildfire, that ignited the rebellion in France, was, quote, "Now is the time." Literally the same phrase. Some say that in the American Revolution the same phrase was heard, and we find mention of it in several texts, but not like it was heard in the peasants' revolt in England, and not like it was heard in the French Revolution. But it was heard again in modern times. It was the campaign slogan of the Bush-Reagan campaign and was used again in the Bush campaign. Now is the time. Now is the time. One famous photograph, staged by George Bush and selected by George Bush for publication in Life magazine, shows him lying in bed holding the pyramid with the capstone in place, signaling to Masons, Freemasons, and members, the priests of the mystery schools around the world, that he is the one who will bring into fruition their ages, centuries, millennia-old dream of the New World Order. In our search for the Templars, we have followed them right to their gravestones. And on some of their gravestones, it shows the knight leaning back, reclining, with his feet resting up on a dog, denoting that he is the master. On most of the tombstones, however, we have found something unexpected: the skull and crossbones. Now, when the Knights Templars were persecuted, the fleet, they had vast fleets, an entire navy, disappeared. And no one, at least no one in the establishment historian group, claims to know where they went. But we have found them, folks. They became the pirates and hoisted their symbol of the skull and bones to the yardarm. They became the vast fleet of pirates who roamed the seas of the world and terrorized nations, navies, and merchantmen. And thus arose, from the initiation rites of the Templars, the initiatory rites of crossing the equator, the international date line, and others, and accounts for the brotherhood amongst the pirates of the world, even to establishing seaports that they owned and operated and where they could always find safety. Those on the land established what they called the Brotherhood of Death. Chapters were formed throughout the world. George Bush was initiated in the crypt, or what is known as the tomb, at Yale, into the Brotherhood of Death, also known as the Russell Trust, also known as the Skull and Bones. The research of many people have revealed what the interior of the crypt, or what is known as the tomb, at Yale, the fraternity house of the Bonesmen, contains. And Anthony C. Sutton, in his monumental work, America's Secret Establishment, all about the Skull and Bones, and one other who wrote a magazine article and published it, revealed the initiation ceremony, revealed that swastikas were found inside the tomb, revealed that the altar is a pile of bones, and that the secret ceremony that George Bush underwent during his initiation was thus. On the day of his initiation, George Bush was conducted through a long, dark passage into an immense hall draped with black. He was able to see, by the faint light of sepulchral lamps, corpses in their shrouds. The altar, built of human skeletons, stood in the center. Ghostly forms moved through the hall, leaving behind them a foul odor. At length, two men dressed as specters appeared and tied a pink band of ribbon smeared with blood around his forehead. Upon this was an image of the Lady of Loretto. A crucifix was placed in his hand and an amulet hung around his neck. His clothes were removed and laid upon a funeral pyre in a fireplace, while upon his body crosses were smeared in blood. Then his pedunta were tied with string. That's his genitals. Now five horrid and frightening figures, blood-stained and mumbling, approached him and threw themselves down in prayer. After an hour, sounds of weeping were heard. The funeral pyre started to burn, and his clothes were consumed. From the flames of this fire, a huge and almost transparent form arose, while the five prostrate figures went into terrible convulsions. Now came the voice of an invisible hierophant booming from somewhere below as George Bush lay in a coffin naked. The words were those of these oaths which the candidate had to repeat. Quote, "In the name of the crucified one, I swear to sever all bonds which unite me with mother, brothers, sisters, wife, relatives, friends, mistress, kings, superiors, benefactors, or any other man to whom I have promised faith, service, or obedience. I name the place in which I was born. Henceforth I live in another dimension, which I will not reach until I have renounced the evil globe which has been cursed by heaven. From now onwards I shall reveal to my new chief all that I have heard or found out, and I shall also seek out and observe things which might otherwise have escaped me. I honor the Aqua Tofana. It is a quick and essential medium of removing from the earth, through death or robbing them of their wits, of those who oppose truth and those who try to take it from our hands. I shall avoid Spain, Naples, and all other accursed lands, and I shall avoid the temptation to betray what I now have heard. Lightning will not strike as rapidly as the dagger, which will reach me wherever I may be, should I betray my initiation." Unquote. Now a candelabrum bearing 7 black candles is placed before the candidate, and also a bowl containing what is supposed to be human blood. He washes himself in the blood and drinks a quantity of it. The string around his genitalia is removed. He is placed in a bath to undergo complete ablution. After this, he eats a meal composed of vegetables. At this time, he is given his new name, by which he will be known to all of the others in the order, the Brotherhood of Death. And with the completion of his initiation, George Bush joined all of the male members of his family in a long line of ancestry traced from Robert Ruse to the modern day. He took his place in the order, the Knights Templar, Freemasonry, and has worked diligently to fulfill his role in the completion of the plan, the great work, the formation of the New World Order, the one world totalitarian socialist state, the destruction of all existing nation states, all existing religions, and enslavement of the mob. The very highest degrees of the order show that the rationalism and materialism of the thinkers who developed it were determined to stamp out belief in religion. God and any faith in a deity, the initiate was told, were human inventions and had no real meaning. Subsequently, this was developed further, and the member who arrived at the highest position, that of Rex or King, learned that he was now equal to a king and that all men were capable of equal advancement. Hence the need for kings over ordinary mortals was an illusion, and at the highest rank the title of Rex Mundi, or King of the World, is assumed. If you would like to get this genealogy, folks, if you're a CAGI member, it's $5. Send it in to the address that you'll hear at the end of this broadcast. For everybody else, it's $10. Good night, and God bless each and every single one of you.